We certainly serve a true and living and loving God as we've been studying in our Bible study. But as we all know, there are things, as we're going to talk about this morning, that hinder us from serving God. Jacob and Bailey, Tim said they had some delays, but Jacob and Bailey were to leave Huntsville and fly to Chicago on early Wednesday morning. And they only had about a 45-minute window to catch their next flight, which is what Bailey was concerned about, is that we're going to have to hustle to get to our next flight. But what happened was their flight got canceled because there was a faulty ice sensor, and the pilots, of course, knew they were flying into Chicago, and there was icy conditions, so they ended up working on that plane. In fact, when they flew out instead of early morning, but later that evening to Dallas, this time they took a picture and sent their plane was being worked on still, sitting there at the gate. But their flight was hindered, that's our word, was hindered by a faulty sensor, so they had to rebook their flight for later in the day. And that is and can be rather frustrating, where they thought they were going to get home perhaps mid-afternoon back in Salt Lake City with a 45-minute layover. They actually didn't get home till about 11:30 that night. So that can be frustrating when we have those kinds of hindrances. And there's all kinds of things that hinder us. It happens to us throughout the day. It can happen to us a given month or year. There are things that happen. The car won't start. My van, about the only thing I've replaced on it in all these years, is the starter. And I can tell that maybe I'm buying cheap starters, which is probably the case, but I can tell that something's not going right. When I turn it, I'm like, oh, I think I'm about to replace that again. A week ago Sunday, as we left, when we got up to Avalon and Woodard, an accident had just happened. I mean, literally, because people were starting to run this way and that way. And while we were headed to Walmart, we get to Walmart. Well, we come out of Walmart, just being there a few minutes before we made it home with the kids that were already home. If you looked left, there was the wreck. And you know, like most good first responders, they're going to shut down everything. It was like everything was lit up over there. If you looked right, guess what was crossing Avalon on that end? A train. Well, we had to make a decision, so I went straight. Well, when I got straight, I said, well, I'm not going to turn along the road that runs by Aldi. I'll go a little further out. So I went to the next one and turned, but what do you think I missed? I missed the dead end sign. So there I am, hindered again, backing up and having to make my way around. So there are all kinds of hindrances that come into our life, and things and obstacles that we have to overcome. And certainly the same is true when it comes to our spiritual life. And the word hindrance in our scripture, according to Strong, means beat back, to beat back. A hindrance is to beat back. And Vines is a little bit more specific regarding our passage there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. What is hindering you? And he says, who broke up the road along which you were traveling so well upon? So there's that idea of being broken up. What's happened that has placed an obstacle? Who, in fact, is the question? Who has done this? And so who was hindering them from obeying the truth? That's the question that is asked in our scripture reading, chapter 5 and verse 7. But I want us to look at some things that were said earlier in the letter. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So here's the word, who bewitched you. And that particular word is the idea of who is it that has charmed you? Who is it that has fascinated them into wanting? And specifically, who is it that's trying to get you to be circumcised? That's the context. Who is it that was obstructing their spiritual progress that they were doing so well in? What was it that was hindering them from obeying the truth? And so again, here you have these, in the context, there is this hindrance that is in fact circumcision. So now in our text of Galatians chapter 5, just notice a few things that are said in the context This hindrance would make them debtors to the whole law. There in verse 3, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is debtor to keep the whole law. You're being hindered from running well, doing well, because somebody's trying to get you to be circumcised. Well, if you're going to be circumcised, you're going to have to be debtor to the whole law of Moses. Or as he says there in verse 4, the seriousness about this hindrance is because it's severing their relationship with Christ, who have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. And so there is a seriousness here because they are falling from grace. And then in verse 4, well, again, that you have fallen from grace. In verse 6, he says that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. So there's no benefit, there's no spiritual benefit here that's provided by being circumcised or uncircumcised. And that's the same type of argument that he's been making in 1 Corinthians. So this is serious because he then says, well, who is it that's actually hindered you from obeying the truth? And so who is it that has broken up this road? Who is that has beaten you back? And so what's happening then, and where I want to go with the lesson is this idea of things that hinder us. What is it? You know, we have to be looking for the things that hinder our progress in serving Christ, in being faithful to God, not only collectively as a congregation, but individually as Christians. And so I want us to consider a few things that hinder our walk as a Christian. And the first one that I thought of is Satan. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'll be turning over to that passage, you know, our adversary, our great adversary is Satan, the devil, the old serpent. And he is trying to hinder our spiritual progress. He's an adversary to God, and therefore anybody that would be progressing in their spiritual life, or, you know, he wants to break up that road. He wants to put obstacles in the way. He wants to hinder us. And so to the church at Thessalonica, in chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul wrote, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in the presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire." So he says, you know, I was trying to get there. We wanted to see you. But notice what he says. He says, "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." He didn't say the Holy Spirit sent me a different direction. What he said was Satan was keeping him from doing what he had hoped to do. And that's because he's always putting up these roadblocks, if you would, to try to disturb something that we might do that is right and good. And Paul was, again, his intentions were to get back to the congregation, to see them. And we know as we read his letters just how much Paul was so concerned about his brethren, how much he loved his brethren, how much he desired to see them, how much he wanted to spend time with them to see how they're doing. But we know in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that that's not who we're dealing with when we think about being able to just go from here to there. We're dealing with Satan, who Peter himself describes as a roaring lion. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "the devil," your adversary, the devil, "walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Satan wants us to be distracted. I mean, that's what he wants us to do. If we're traveling, he wants us to not be thinking about studying, not be thinking about worship. He wants us to be hindered by worldly concerns and things. This is what he does. He wants us to focus our attention on maybe our aches and pains to the point that it doesn't matter what the ache or the pain is, it's going to hinder us in our spiritual well-being. You know, we have to think about this. We have to think about what he's trying to do. And so he is trying to put some kind of hindrance before you and I. And so one of the things, and I think that both Lisa and Emma can attest to, that oftentimes at the dinner table on Wednesday, when I pray for our food, I'll say something about the opportunity to have our Bible study, and I pray that nobody will be hindered from being able to come. And I don't mean that you got caught by a train or something of that nature. I'm talking about what we're talking about, that there's something that distracts or pulls us away, that we are not going to do what is best for us spiritually. And so there's a deficiency that is there, not like, you know, I'm trying to get here, but the train was there. That's not what I'm talking about. Those, or there was an accident. That's not the kind of, those are the time and chance that happen to us all. But when it is something that is a continual thing, there is a problem. And Satan would have us neglect our spiritual well-being and focus on the wrong things. Maybe it's job pressures. And certainly jobs can have a lot of pressures. Maybe there is family obligations that are the hindrance for our spiritual well-being. Maybe it's things that are really what we would call recreation, the things that we do to relax, or the things that we do. Maybe that's what the distraction or the hindrance is. And Satan, he uses all of those things. He does. He uses the world to distract us. But we all have to understand that things don't last, though, do they? Things just simply do not last. We have to be able, like we've been talking about over the last few weeks, in increasing our faith and honoring God, we have to realize what's most important. We have to realize what is temporal and what is eternal. But Satan, no, that's what he wants to do. He wants to hinder us from doing well. And the church at the churches of Galatia had been hindered. They'd been hindered. Who's hindering you from doing well? Well, he wants us to place something between you and God. And so when I was thinking about that, what does Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 teach? Matthew chapter 6, we know this in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So it's me and the kingdom of God, that's first. But what's Satan wanting to do? He wants to get something between you and God. In fact, that's what our idolatry is today. I think we've talked about that already in our study. That's our idolatry. When something is between us and God, it becomes more important. And that could be, I just threw some up there. It may be the pursuits of pleasure. It may be our love for money. I mean, we just got to make money. That's all we think about. Maybe it's recreation. Maybe it's our family. And certainly any of these and all of these things can be what is hindering us, what is blocking our way. And so we need to recognize this truth. But again, we have to tear that down. We have to make sure that nothing gets between me or you and our relationship with God. Well, then I thought about people. Not just Satan, but people can. There are people in our life that can just spiritually hinder us. It may be a family member. It may be a spouse. It may be our parents. Maybe it's our boss at work. I mean, every time we think that we're free for a moment, then, you know, they come up with something else that's going to hinder us and say, well, you've got to do this, and it takes us away from that which is most important. Maybe it's our recreation, as I keep pointing out, our hunting and our fishing, or maybe for the ladies, our love for shopping or things of that nature. Something that we spend way too much time on. Something that we spend way too much energy, maybe something that we spend way too much resources on. And this is why Jesus says, well, you need to find out where your treasures are, because that's where you will find where your heart is. And so this is, you know, making that same point. But sometimes it is, in fact, people. It can be the people around us that don't have our best interest. And so Jesus dealt with, in Luke chapter 11, I wanted you to turn over there. This was an interesting text in Luke chapter 11. At beginning of verse 37, you see where he's talking to the Pharisees and the lawyers. And so the lawyers would be those that would know the law of Moses. But notice what he says in verse 46. He says, woe to you also. Well, verse 45. One of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. So here's a lawyer that says, You're speaking to us about this. And so here he says, woe to you also, lawyers, For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. And then jump down, if you would, to verse 42. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. There's our word. So here are the people that are supposed to be the ones that provide the key. You see, you notice he said that. What's a key do? A key opens something up. He says, but you won't give them the key. And so here's people that know the law. They wouldn't give that information. And what were they doing? They were hindering those that were wanting to enter in. Now, they wouldn't do it. In fact, we see the hypocrisy in the fact. And there are those that hinder us because, you know, they'll have you do everything. And then they themselves won't do anything at all. In fact, I was reading where, you know, I mean, that describes someone like Joel Osteen. I mean, this man has mansions, and what is he doing? He's taking money from people that really don't have the money. And what he's saying is that if you'll just give a little bit of money, God's going to bless you. And so he preaches his health and happiness and that type of thing. And you can go and find quotes where they say things about how we have to be content with the things they have. And if anybody's paying attention, you know, it's like, how is he, you know, he's got all of this money and he's got a private jet and he does. And so the way they justify that is, well, I've got to get from here to there to teach the gospel. Well, that's what happens with our politicians. Well, I can't ride the public airways. I got to have private jets because I'm more important. And then you got that whole carbon footprint. You just see all the hypocrisy. Well, people can put hindrances in front of us. They can withhold the keys. And so we have to be able to see that. Now, in our day and time, this is what the false teacher is doing. So if you'll look at 2 Peter chapter 2, if you'll be turning over there, in our scripture reading, back with this idea of you have to be circumcised, that was a false teaching. That was those trying to get the Gentiles to go back to the old law. And Paul says, well, if you're going to be circumcised, you're going to have to keep the whole law. And so they were teaching that circumcision was required to be obedient to Christ. But look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, which of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. But by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words for a long time. Their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So there will be false teachers among us. And so we have to be aware that false teachers place obstacles, hindrances to our spiritual well-being. Now, our own ignorance of God's Word, what's that going to do? That's going to leave us vulnerable, isn't it? So we talked about how important it was last week to in increasing our faith to study the Word and to know the Word, because that's how you spot the wolf in sheep's clothing. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed, he said, for lack of knowledge. And that is true, that our lack of knowledge leaves us susceptible to every wind of doctrine to blow us to and fro. And that is our responsibility. And so what can hinder us? Someone who's teaching false doctrine. My walk as a Christian and your walk as a Christian is hindered when we do not know the Word of God. And so we each have to do that. Now, I also thought of this idea of stumbling blocks. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 3, that people will put these stumbling blocks in front of us, and these are all tying together. But in Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. And this is going to fit with, chapter 14 fits well with what's being talked about in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, in this idea of I have to be mindful of not putting a stumbling block in front of my fellow Christian. And so when we think about people, they can, and a stumbling block is just like it sounds. It's something that's placed in our way to trip over. Picture Dick Van Dyke at the beginning of the Dick Van Dyke Show. He'd always trip right over that footstool, armoire, whatever you call it, and he'd fall right over, not armoire, but whatever it's called. I can't think of what it's called. It's just completely slipped my mind. That's okay. You know what I'm talking about, because I saw you smile before I even said it. But it tripped right over this thing. And so people, you know, put stumbling blocks in front of our way. And sometimes, and we have to be recognize it, or it'll hinder us from what's doing is what is right. And then the third thing I thought of in regards to things that hinder, of course, is sin. Because what sin does is it separates us from God. And what does that do? Well, that breaks up the road that we're traveling on, and it trips us up in our faithful walk as a Christian. Sin does that. It weighs us down. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says. This passage is just so clear coming off of those that were faithful. He says in verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," back in chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Sin weighs us down. It is something that can easily snare us, and it's going to hinder us. No two ways about it. And when we are engaged in sin, what are we doing? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. "For if the word spoken through angels provided steadfastness, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was so confirmed to us by those who heard him?" So that passage is very clear that we neglect our salvation when we have sin. Well, Christians, what do we desire? We desire the crown of life and to live eternally. So what is going to hinder that? What's going to be placed in the way? What kind of sin is a hindrance to that end? Sin is. And what do you receive for your sin? Death. The Hebrew writer says you got to lay it aside. You have to get rid of it. Now, here's where the rest of the lesson will go. So you remember the title was, what is hindrances? And what can we do about it? Well, let me say this. Christianity is not a lazy man's religion. And what I mean by that, as I'm thinking about that, is this takes effort, doesn't it? All of this, sometimes we just think we just kind of fumble through life and then, you know, everything's going to turn out right. In fact, mentioning Dick Van Dyke, I came across a video. He was in a music video. The group Coldplay does a song, and they shot and showed a lot of Dick Van Dyke's life, and they interviewed him. You know, he's going to be 100 soon this year. And one of the things that was interesting about that was they asked him, he said, "I'm not afraid of dying." He said, "I don't know why. I'm not afraid of dying." He says, "I just have this feeling that I'm going to be okay." And I thought, this is so sad, because he doesn't know. He has no idea about, and he's one of my favorite. He's so funny, and you know, and he's, but anyway, you understand what I'm saying. He doesn't know. He just has a feeling that everything's going to be okay. Well, that's just kind of going through life and saying, now I'm 100, I hope everything turns out okay, and I just have a feeling everything's going to be okay. But everything that you know about the Scriptures, does that sound like what the Word of God teaches? Of course not. And so here's what I thought about. When I thought about what can we do about hindrances, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4, which is where I got this first point, to be wise. We have to be wise to avoid hindrances. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it, and pass on. Be wise. That's how I sum that. Be wise. You have to walk through life with wisdom. And in the context of Proverbs, he personifies wisdom as a female that is crying, that is saying, and here this is a father, receive my sayings. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, verse 12. When you run, you're not going to stumble. Why? Because you're adhering to the advice, in this case, the father who is giving wisdom. But you know, here's where I wanted to kind of focus for just a moment on this idea of hindrances. That takes problem solving. Because things come before us and we have to learn to be good problem solvers. Because sometimes we have to overcome an obstacle because we recognize it and we have to be smart about it. And so I thought of a physical example is Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 and in verse 3 through 5? What does it say about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He was short in stature. What he wanted to do is he wanted to see Jesus. And he was too small to be able to do that. So what did he do? He climbed up in a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. So what did he do? I can't get a crowd. He ran ahead of the crowd. He climbed up in a tree to solve his problem. And Jesus walked right up to that tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to go to your house today. And he scurried on down. Problem solving. He not only saw Jesus, Jesus stayed in his home. And so overcoming a hindrance may not be easy at all. That's why I said it's not a lazy man's religion. We have to solve problems. We have to see things for what they are. We may have to give our time. We surely have to pray about it, don't we? You may want to seek counsel. Why? Because the scriptures say that wise counsel is being wise, isn't it? Seeking wise counsel. You don't go to someone who's a failure at this and say, I want to know, what do you do? And you're like, well, that's not being wise. Sometimes you have to think outside of the box. And I've got an illustration for that for you. So in a small Italian town, there was a loan shark that had loaned a lot of money to a small business owner. And the loan shark really liked his daughter. And so he went to the small business owner and he says, okay, I got a proposition for you. He says, here's what we'll do. I want your daughter, so I'm going to put a white stone and a black stone in a bag. And if the white stone is drawn, your debts will be forgiven and your daughter won't have to marry me. But if the black stone is pulled out of the bag, then your debt will be gone, but I get to marry your daughter. And so this businessman agreed to do that. And so they were standing on a pebble road. So he reached down to get the two pebbles, the loan shark did. And the daughter just happened to notice that he picked up two black stones. Now she had three choices. She can refuse to pick from the bag. I'm not going to do it. She could take both pebbles out and expose the loan shark for cheating. Or she could draw and take the chance, if you would. And if she drew the black one, she knew that she would be sacrificing herself for her father's debt. So there's your options. You know what she did? She thought out of the box. So what she did is she reached into the bag and she drew the stone and she immediately dropped it into the bed of pebbles. And she said, oh, that's okay. You pull out the stone that's left, which if you put two black stones in there, what would be left? She said, if you pull out the stone that's left, you'll know what one I picked. Meaning, I must have picked the white one. Well, guess who realized what had confronted him? So now he could either expose himself as a cheat, but he played along, and the debt was forgiven, and the daughter didn't have to marry him. Because he was rather disgusting. What did she do? Well, I don't know that you'd have thought. I wouldn't know. I had to read it, but I don't know if I'd have thought of that option. But that's what I'm saying about thinking outside of the box. It reminds me of an illustration I heard years ago of a man who picked and labored in the farms to pick the produce and so forth, and he was expected to miss services because they had to pick the tomatoes or whatever you want to pick. But he went to the person, the landowner, and he said, "Listen, my whole family will come and pick on Saturday so I can go to worship on Sunday." Solve the problem. Well, you know, that means Emma's on board, and that means that everybody sees the importance. But you see, what that did was that was a way of solving the problem. And so sometimes maybe what we're talking about is we're not very good at problem solving, to remove those obstacles and hindrances. But that's what we need to do to follow Jesus and overcome. Now, resisting Satan, James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't let him distract you. So there's all kinds of things. You think about, we were talking about the importance of study, growing in our wisdom. Well, what do we have to do? We have to turn off the phone. We have to leave it in another room while we study. Maybe we turn off the television or the computer so it'll be quiet. Maybe what we do is we deny ourselves of some worldly pleasure to do what? Gain eternal life. And if you're already distracted in worship, you know, things distract you, you're easily distracted. You know, sometimes what you got to do is you got to move to the front. Because if you move to the front, guess what? All the distractions are behind you. In other words, I'm just saying that that's solving problems that you personally may deal with. Now, Lisa can tell you that I used to preach and she'd say, "You didn't see me take that one out 3 times? I say, "No, I'm sorry. It takes me a lot to concentrate in what I'm doing." And I would miss it. Everybody else knew about it, but I didn't. And that's just to say that that's sometimes what we got to do is we got to stay focused and not be distracted. And then the last one I thought about was, this goes back to people hindering us. What can we do about hindrances? Avoid evil companions. Of course, that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived, you know the verse, evil companions corrupt good morals or manners. We cannot be fooled into thinking that evil people will not influence us and affect our good habits or ruin our morals or our good behavior. And we know that. And people can hinder us. And so we need to prefer good companionships with our brethren and not the evil companionships of the world. And so we have to avoid, we have to be aware of them and we have to avoid them, but that means that we have to be perceptive to realize good influences and bad influences. So here's kind of a summary of what we talked about. Things that hinder us: Satan, people, sin. What can we do? We can be wise, we can resist Satan, and we can avoid evil companions. What's hindering you from being obedient to God? And what will you be doing about it beginning today? And it's not just that you reflect on these things at the first of the year, but we should be thinking about this on a continual basis. If the Lord is willing, He may bless every one of us with spiritual growth, maybe a will to overcome obstacles that are placed before us, and I hope that He will give us the wisdom that is needed to do so. You might be here this morning and you are not a child of God and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, January the 5th, could be your birthday, the day you were born again in Christ. And we certainly would want that for you so you can come up out of the water rejoicing. Maybe you're a child of God and things are wrong, things are amiss, and you need to repent of those sins and you need to make things right. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.